Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
This is Julia.
This is John.
Alrighty. We're going to do a bonus episode. Actually, I don't know. Have we had a bonus episode in a while? I don't think we have. I know we've done a couple interviews and whatnot, but I don't know if we've done a bonus episode. But I don't know. I don't have the feed in front of me. And apparently, I'm not good at keeping track of it because one of our listeners pointed out that From Zero Published we had done as a two-parter under that name 18 months before. And I had...
Really?
Yeah. I just had it in
We did it as a two-parter?
Yes.
The last time?
Called From Zero to Published. Same name and everything. And I didn't remember it at all.
Was I on the first one?
I don't know.
Because if I wasn't, it's now non-canonical.
Things are different now. That was Zero to Published then.
Yes.
Yeah, this is digital Zero to Published printing. Now.
A lot changed
movable
in 18
Movable type.
Months.
There's a lot of it's changed.
And it was not the exact same name because the number before it was different.
It's different.
That's true. That's true. I think it's just I have these ideas in my head. Like, man, it'd be cool to talk about this. And... actually taking the time to search to see if we've done it before is probably a habit I need to start doing.
Well, no one on the cast had ever published a role-playing game the last time we talked about publishing a role-playing game either.
I
suppose there was a credibility damage there.
I did check that, and I can at least say, while it was the same subject, the actual kind of nuts and bolts of what we talked about was different between the two shows. So there was
probably mostly because we didn't know anything about.
Well, it was also we just had sort of it was a different approach, different people. Several things about it were different. But
it was
anyway,
fanfic. Disregarded everyone.
It was about Chris Hussey. Completely
yes.
irrelevant. All right.
Aww.
But we've had or not had rather a bonus episode here in a while, I guess. So here's what I want to do. Going down to Comic-Con while. Pat was playing Get That Blonde.
No, he also played Get That Brunette, Get That Redhead.
Get All Boobs.
Get That Blonde
that
was his primary
game, person with
though.
Asian hair, Get That Person with yeah. African-American well, hair, pretty much everything.
Okay, well, it's kind of like how, sure, you might play Solitaire or Minesweeper between WoW-benders. Fair enough.
Okay,
but his WoW-bender was
correct.
Get That Blonde. I even still have a picture of her somewhere. But while he was doing that, John and I were playing a game I introduced to him. I'm now going to play with you guys. All right, I will start.
Oh, this isn't about glue?
No.
Oh, no glue.
What are you talking about?
Dang
right, we'll reveal that later.
All right.
Well, everyone hold on to your breath for a really long time because you're in a glue.
Well, hold on to something.
Indeed.
But there was a game that John and I played, and I actually came up with this game years back when I was dating a girl named Nicole. She and I had a discussion, and the discussion went as follows. She was telling me about her car. And she was telling me at great length how she worked very hard to keep the outside of her car extremely clean because she didn't want people to see her driving up in some piece of crap car. But when you looked inside the car, the inside of it was just a freaking disaster. Now, I prefer the reverse. Now, granted, I have some clutter on my floorboard right now, but overall, I keep the interior of my car cleaner than the exterior because I'm a lot more concerned about my own comfort than what some random person on the street thinks of me. So out of this came this idea of the one-question personality test.
Aww.
All right? So what you here's how the game is played because I spent quite a bit of time trying to figure out what it said about our personalities to simply prefer the inside versus the outside of the car to be clean, if you can only pick one. All right.
You're missing a whole constellation of other possible answers. My outside and inside both look like crap, and my check engine light's always on.
Let me set some rules then for this game, because that is a fair point. This game, number one, every question has to be answerable with multiple choice. The fewer options, the better. So two or three, whatever. Okay, but a small number of multiple choice answers. You can't give half a dozen, nor can you say something open ended like, what X-Men would you be? Okay, this has got to be an A or B, A, B, or C kind of thing. Secondly, these are all false dilemmas. I want another option is not an option. You have to pick one of the two. So if I say, either the inside or outside of your car is going to be dirty and the other will be clean, which is which? You can tell me which of those. You cannot say they're both dirty or they're both clean. Okay. You cannot say, no, I don't own a car. Okay? You can't say something BS like that. Speaking of which,
what if you don't own a car?
You know, actually, tangent here, but don't you just want to slap people who are like, think they're better than you because they don't own a TV? Like, so I was watching TV.
Yeah. Well, we don't have
we
a don't, TV
no, no.
in
the
my house.
The thing about them is they all have
TV.
Netflix and they all have Pandora One and like, They all watch TV and listen to music
just
on
not
their
cable.
Computer. They just
yes.
don't do it on
yes,
a TV.
Yes, Chad.
Frickin'
yes, we're talking about you, Chad.
Chad has a TV.
No, I'm not talking about Chad.
Chad gives us the whole speech about, I don't watch TV. Yes, you do. You watch a lot of TV. You watch it with Netflix. You watch it streaming.
And you just don't
you
watch.
You don't watch broadcast
yeah, you don't
TV.
Watch.
No, the ones I'm talking about, not the people who say they don't watch TV. It's the ones who like
I don't have
one. They're better than you because yeah. they don't own a TV.
I shop at Whole Foods
I
and regularly eat grains.
I don't allow TVs in my household because they denigrate me.
Right. I personally hate the ones who I don't let my kids watch TV. Really, you're depriving your kids of awesome cartoons. You should stop that. Anyway. Saturday cartoons were the when we were kids. I'm just yeah. saying.
And now there's 10 channels of them going on all the time.
All
the
time,
kids
yeah.
don't even like them. That's life, man.
Do you like the cartoons these
if
days?
If you can get something for 22 minutes on Sunday morning only, you'll treasure it forever. But if you can get it all week long, you just don't, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, but that also lets you create crap.
True.
Anyway. Tangent.
It's the difference between an info wife and a trip to Vegas. I mean,
I was going to make that connection in like two threads of the conversation, but it sort of died right there. So
yeah,
let it go.
Okay. I'll go ahead and start off, and then we'll go around the table. And you guys at home can play along, come up with your own questions. Heck, if you got a good one, post it on the forum and see how your fellow booters answer it. But here's what I'll start off with, and I don't think this requires any explanation. Red, green, or blue?
Mass Effect endings?
Yes.
Oh.
Red.
Red.
FTP.
I still haven't played it, so I don't know what it means.
Just pick a damn color.
So I would pick red.
All right.
Okay, good.
I was red as well.
That is the right answer.
Why did you pick red? Now we can get into the personality part. Why did you pick red?
Me first?
Yeah, because I'm just looking at you, so yeah, sure.
In game context or just in general?
I don't know, in general. It's about you. It's not about the
what
game.
Context outside of the game did you pick red in?
yeah, outside of orange.
What does that even mean?
Well,
yeah,
in the game,
you
I picked.
The game?
Yeah, I know, but I picked it because screw the Reapers. But actually, I don't think I can answer that question. I just like.
Well, you are protected by the Fifth Amendment.
No, I don't know why I pick red, but I mean, it's weird because most of the stuff I own is blue. My car is blue.
Well, I'm not asking about your favorite crayon.
No, I know, but I'm trying to think of why I picked red. I think I picked
my
red because...
My blue car induced me to collaborate with the Reapers.
No, I know. That's why I asked if it was in game context. Okay, well, in game context, there were two reasons. Because, screw the Reapers, and it seemed like the most logical choice for Shepard to pick. But also because she breathes at the end of it if you're good enough.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I didn't know that when I picked it. I just picked it because it's like, well, I can either ditch our human identity by merging with machines.
Right. And then all the leaves get all sparkly, which is weird.
Yeah. And what was it that happens? That's the green ending. What was the blue ending?
The blue one,
the blue
Shepard
is where you control
like
it.
The avatar.
That's
the
right.
Yeah, but you still die.
Yeah. It's like, well, I'm just kind of presupposing that the problem won't pop up again.
Well,
it's
yeah.
Like, we
knows?
Have to end this.
Well, and who knows if Shepard would come back and do the same damn thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so the point.
Did we not read Lord of the Rings? The idea is not to seize the weapon of the enemy. You can't trust yourself.
Right,
with
precisely.
It.
And so same thing that I kind of looked at. It was like, I've spent three games trying to protect humanity from the Reapers. Green sells out humanity and blue preserves the Reapers. And so that kind of left red.
Right.
And okay. I did not know when I picked it that Shepard would breathe and show some sign of life.
Oh, yeah.
After having picked it. I only found that out once I picked it and saw it play out. But also the beauty of these little questions is they open the door to conversation. You start with such a silly idea, but you start unpacking it in all kinds of absolutely presumptive and irrelevant ways.
I picked it because the story was a swashbuckling space opera where you kill the big bad robots. And it was the only ending where you kill the big bad robots. So it pretty much precluded the other two or three, depending on when you played it.
So John likes operas.
I do. What about it?
Okay. John, it's your turn.
Okay.
But we didn't ask Wayne why he picked red.
Wayne hasn't played the game.
Oh. Here's another one Wayne won't have any opinion on.
I picked just the color.
Protoss, Terran, Zerg. Wayne, you go first. You never played StarCraft, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I didn't play StarCraft either.
Okay, well, Dan, it's all on you.
Zerg.
Same here. Quantity is its own quality. Joseph Stalin.
You know what's funny is even playing the Zerg, I still tend to play a quality army, not a quantity army.
You must be a pretty crappy Zerg player.
Well, I play the quantity army just to get through the first part of base building.
Yeah, that's when Zerg's supposed to win the
that's
game.
That's when I switch to. They are good. If you want them to, they're good at buckling down.
No, they're not.
Oh, hell, they are, dude. Between those.
StarCraft Brood War. Or are you talking about StarCraft 2? I mean, they suck at buckling down in both, but I would say they're worse in StarCraft Brood War than they are in 2.
Well, in Brood War, you have those, I can't remember what they're called, but things that dig down and then can shoot
lurkers?
The, yeah, the lurkers.
Yeah, those are nice, but as static defense, they're an outrageous waste of resources.
Yeah, fair
well,
enough.
Well, just they're from the small drops. Conversation I heard, I would take quality over quantity any day.
Okay, then you probably play Protoss. You'd play Protoss anyway. You're elf chick.
I like throwing wave after wave of my own men at things.
Absurd. Yeah, so that's the other thing. Is I didn't mind watching them die. It just didn't move in the needle either way.
Elf chick.
Elf
chick. Nice.
Okay, well, Julia, your turn.
Let's go race then. Dwarf, human, or elf?
Human.
I can only work with the information you just gave, so I'm going to go with human.
Dwarf.
Oh, I probably go with elf.
Oh, I'm not like. Elf chick.
All right, no. Elf. I like nature.
Yeah, I like beards, beer, and gunpowder.
So, see, I like beer too, though.
Julia, you're a Shadowrun player. Have you ever sat down and tried to figure out if the Awakening happened and the goblinization, which was a separate thing from the Awakening and all that, what your friends would all become if you ever sat down and did that?
What the hell?
No, but that would be a lot of fun.
I've done that before. I've done that with all my friends. I can tell you what everybody would be.
Wait, it'll be a troll,
you
obviously.
Should come do that with my group of friends. I think it would be very interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, if you go from that route, obviously I'm an
elf. Dan, fire away. What are we?
Let's see. I would be elf. Julia?
Julia would be an orc.
Oh, my God.
She's got that savage feral spirit.
You know, actually, given her disposition, I'm going to have to agree with you. She's probably an orc.
What is that supposed to mean?
Jonna, you're small and smarmy, so you're going to have to be a dwarf.
Aw.
That's cool. That's my favorite.
Actually, I think with Wayne, I'm going to go with orc as well. I don't think Wayne is quite...
I think he's surly enough to be a troll.
I guess, maybe. You could maybe sell me on troll. But
orcs don't set up the tripod in the hotel room in Metropolis. Troll you.
An orc totally would.
Yeah, maybe.
It's funny because I got in this huge argument with Mike because when I did this game last, Mike said he'd be an orc. I mean, he's a big, burly, hairy guy. He's like, I'd be an elf.
No.
I'm like, dude, I don't give a
Mike
you
would be
idealize
a troll
yourself
6 days a week and an orc one day a week.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would be scared of him if he was an elf. If he came up and was like, I'm an elf. And he's all hairy and creepy.
But
like
he's an ear crack. And he was like seriously arguing this with me. I'm like, okay, I don't care how you idealize yourself. You are not this like tall waifish guy. You are this big, burly.
Mike would actually just be a big dwarf. I think that fits him better.
He would
even
be like
orc
a tall dwarf. He'd be like a goofy dwarf that's like 7 feet tall for some reason.
He's like a burly, bearded
tall
dude.
Elf.
Yeah.
Already wintered.
All right. Zombie apocalypse or alien invasion?
Alien invasion.
Alien invasion.
Alien invasion because I'm tired of zombies.
I would pick zombie apocalypse.
Zombies are pests.
I'm tired of zombies, and on top of that, with aliens, you always get the fascination of, so what's this going to be about?
Yeah, and like
with zombies, you know why they're here.
In a zombie apocalypse, I think you're more likely to be able to survive, though. Like with the aliens, you're just outgunned. They have better technology. With the zombies, you're outnumbered. You can plan around being outnumbered, but when you're outgunned, it's more difficult
to
plan.
That's the excitement.
You're rebuilding society
with
zombies.
Being able to kind of sit down and say, wow, why are they here? What do they want? What are their weaknesses?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe you can befriend them.
It's not like if one of them bites me, I'm going to turn into one.
Hey, no. Don't laugh at me.
Shut up, elf
it's
chick.
True.
You can't befriend the alien.
No, I'm an orc, remember?
Oh, that's right.
He called it an alien invasion, not visitation.
Yeah. This is like an alien greeted as liberators type situation where they're killing
still,
us all.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they are better than us.
So I guess my question
of course it doesn't mean they're worse than us.
I guess my question of resistance versus Vici just got answered. So let's move on to another question. Summer or winter?
Summer. Mm. Winter sucks.
Does it have to be one of the other? Because
yes, that's the point.
Damn it. I like summer.
I want the third week of fall.
I just like I like spring.
Definitely winter.
Oh.
Why? Winter people defend yourself. Summer is intuitive. Dan, what are you going with?
You know, I would actually go with winter until the past 2 years. And now I'm going summer.
Why? Because you grew a brain?
No. I still not grown one of those. Okay. I would traditionally have gone winter for the simple reason that I like the peace and serenity. You walk outside.
There's lots of peace and serenity in the summer.
No, it's not. It's noise
it's
and activity
havoc.
And kids and birds and whatever. You go out in the winter, it's quiet. Nothing is happening.
That's because everything froze to death.
There's this cover of white snow that is completely untarnished, except for my dogs have peed and pooped. But overall,
that's not gross when it's my kids.
However, I've switched to summer because over the past few years, I've developed pretty nasty post-nasal drip, and I'm going to be gross here, but I will be. And in the winter, when it gets so dry here, I start choking. And so now I prefer the humidity because I can freaking breathe.
That's gross.
So, yeah. See, here's the reason why I take summer because I have to and why I would prefer spring is the humidity because it is horrendous for my asthma. But I don't like winter because everything's dead. I like everything to be like alive and green and fun and happy, and I'm a girl. So I like frolicking and grass and
so the summer has that evil sun out there that burns me.
Oh, you're a ginger.
The summer has grass being freshly cut, which keeps me from breathing.
Oh, me too.
The summer gets very hot, and there's not really anything you can do when you're outside.
Take your clothes off.
Nobody wants to see that.
I mean, so take off all your clothes.
In the winter, I can put on my trench coat. I can put on more clothes. I'm better off. In the winter, I'm less likely to...
You can hide yourself from the world.
Aww.
Yes.
And you're happy about
your
that.
You're a luchador, man.
See, Wayne, you've got it all backwards. I like the summer because I can prance around in my house in my tidy whities with all the windows open.
Well, and
there's
hello.
No freezing and nipple erections.
In the winter, I'm less likely to burst into, you know...
Song.
I'm not going to burst into the song anywhere. I'm less likely to get a sunburn while driving to work in the winter. Because that's happened.
Wait. Oh my gosh.
I have gotten sunburns multiple times when stuck in traffic.
How do people survive
to
this point in history?
Yeah. Well, and I can't believe that all of you men haven't pointed out the fact that women wear nothing during the summer.
Well, that is nice, too.
Okay, the sights are certainly better in the summer.
Yes, I was going to say, women wear like jack in the summer. They're like, oh, a bikini
shirt.
But you
know what? Women are wearing jack 365 days a year on the internet.
Exactly.
This is true. This is very true.
If you don't go outside, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
I will have to say, back when I lived in Maryland Heights, I was working at GMAC, and I used to drive past Creve Coeur Lake every day on my way to work and see all the women jogging. Summer was a very, very fun time.
So I used to work at Six Flags as a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
I worked in Hurricane Harbor. Yes, there are a lot of good sights. There are also men in their 40s in a banana hammock walking around.
Yes,
so for every good sight you've got, there's usually three or four things that you can't forget.
I know.
That gets burned into your mind that you want to go away. Summer is evil.
I was a bra specialist for 3 years at Victoria's Secret, and men are always like, oh my God, you got to see boobs all the time. And I'm like, yeah, but with just as many good boobs, there were bad boobs too.
All right, Johnny.
Fighter, wizard, cleric, thief.
Oh, geez. Thief.
Wizard.
Cleric.
Wizard. No fighters at the table. How about that?
Well,
look at what 13 years of the D20 system has done to the fighter population.
I play both, but I prefer thieves.
You play both what?
Fighters and thieves.
Okay.
Because I've played like swashbucklers and stuff, which are technically fighters.
Yeah. Well, some of them are thieves.
Yeah, it depends on how you play them.
I like the versatility and power of the wizard.
Yeah, I like being the best class. Wizard.
Oh, I have spells that can do a variety of things. Yes, I am specialized towards dealing damage. I'll have spells I can do...
You are?
To do other things.
Why? Evocation sucks compared to like most of the rest of the schools.
But that's the point. You have options.
Exactly.
The wizard presents
all the options.
The wizard seems to present more options than some of the other classes.
If I need a fighter, I'll just summon one. Go home.
Now,
I want all the treasure.
Now, if you'd have said cleric mixed in there, too.
He did.
Oh, he did?
I said fighter, wizard, cleric, thief.
Yeah. Cleric would be a close second.
Okay.
Because
you get the best
of both worlds.
I'm with cleric because, for that reason, I like the idea of having the power, but at the same time, there is both purpose internally and there's also
armor.
Well, armor, but then also there's a certain way in which the rest of the party needs you that I kind of like.
Can I pick Magus then?
No.
I'm just saying.
No, you may not.
Those were second edition archetypes. I did not say rogue. I said thief. All right. That's settled.
All right. Elf chick.
Oh, I'm bad at the questions.
Use your orc rage to come up with one very quickly without thinking.
Okay. Let's go fantasy, steampunk, sci-fi.
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 Fantasy.
Sci-fi. You lose. No, I'm just kidding.
In literature, sci-fi, in gaming, fantasy, and this is a gaming podcast, so I went with that.
Yeah,
I think part of the reason that I struggle with fantasy, and I like fantasy, okay, so I'm not bagging on fantasy, but when you throw fantasy into gaming, it's pretty much a given we're talking D20.
Yeah.
If I say science fiction in gaming, there could be any number of games that are coming to mind,
mm-hmm.
any number of systems that are coming to mind. But if I say fantasy and gaming, yes, I realize there are other options. I realize you can savage it. I realize there's burning. I realize there are other ways of playing it. But let's be honest with ourselves here. 90-some-odd% of people playing a fantasy role-playing game are playing some iteation of D20,
D&D. That's the glorious Pathfinder. Thing about D&D is it itself is almost pan-setting. You don't pick up a science fiction game and expect to see Captain Picard, Luke Skywalker, Neo, and
the Jews in space.
The Jews in space, all in the same party, all doing the same thing. You pick up a fantasy game, you absolutely expect to see Conan the Barbarian, Merlin, and Bilbo Baggins all in the same party, all trying to do the same thing. The subversive genius of the class-based system is that every class is its own genre, if indeed not its own entire cultural heroic tradition, and they're all supposed to exist side by side. Now that leads to problems because Merlin is more powerful than Bilbo Baggins, no matter how you try to shade it, but it still makes for some fun stories.
The big thing for me is fantasy is this big, vast thing that I haven't had a lot of exposure to. I read Lord of the Rings, I read The Hobbit, and that was the extent of my fantasy.
That's true about all recently.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, recently, playing Pathfinder, playing D&D, getting into some more urban fantasies, things like that is kind of opening up. But I don't have that big history with fantasy like I do sci-fi. I can jump into a sci-fi setting and I can get into it easier. When we're talking fantasy, you have a lot of the same things spread across different settings. You generally know an elf is going to be an elf. Yeah. A troll is going to be a troll.
Unless it's Our Elves Are Different, TVTropes.org.
Exactly, though. Every setting you go into, it's slightly different, but it's the same thing. And it's like everyone already has this expectation of, oh, we're going to play a fantasy game. Okay, this is what it lines up to. I don't really have that like everyone else does. When you talk about a lot of the D&D monsters from the older editions, I have no idea what those are. What's
so when we talk about Odiglu and Odiugs, you don't know what we're talking about?
Yeah, I had to ask. I asked Dan, what is an Odiglu? I didn't know what it
Odiglu?
Was.
Odiglu? That's an Odiug that comes from a horse.
I had no idea.
Now it's canon. It's going in there.
Yes.
That's what they ride. They're going to ride Odiglus.
Yes.
Well, I think the reason why I like sci-fi is fantasy. I feel like whenever somebody runs like a fantasy game or something, it's always the same fantasy. And I feel like there could be a lot more potential in fantasy.
Well, I think it's the reason John just described. Fantasy is, in many ways,
Lord of the Rings and
it's
the Hobbit.
Not just a genre. It is, in many ways, a setting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like we know what elves do. We know what dwarves do. The only question is how we're mixing them all up. But you still tend to end up with the same thing, or you tend to end up with somebody who's trying to make it different for the sake of making it different. Now, once again, I'm not saying there are no exceptions to this out there. There are. But I'm just saying
my homebrew savage game is so unique.
Well, I don't know. For instance, I had a ridiculous headache and I put on something that would help me fall asleep. And I was reliving my childhood by watching Hercules, Legend Continues, or whatever the hell it's called.
And I enjoy that on Netflix occasionally.
I loved Kevin Sorbo as a child. But anyway, that is technically a fantasy because they have thieves and rogues and all that stuff. But you never see
Sorbo's
anybody play.
Chest.
No, nobody ever runs a game based on like Greek mythology, which they totally could. And in
well, it's in the Monsters Manual. You can if you want to.
But nobody does.
I would get behind that game so quickly.
I've never had it.
In second edition, they did give
Julie, we need
commentary.
To fix this. I want to play in a Greek game. You know,
me too.
A Greek fantasy
I'm not jamming
now.
It though. I want to play it.
Well, and I'll give a shout out to you two things.
You pussies.
One
excuse
is
in
second edition, they did actually in the DM's guide, I think, give kind of a brief outline if you want to play a classical era game.
Yeah, no, they had
if you want to play
they had a gear list for the Bronze Age.
Yeah. So if you want to play something that's from the Bronze or Iron Age.
I would love to play in that. So if anybody would like to run that game for me.
I would love to play it.
No, because I want to play in it.
I want it to be just like Hercules, too.
Yes, like I want it to be
a TV show. I want this condition and this condition and this condition, and I want this player character and this enemy, but God, I don't want to run it. What's running it for? I want someone else to take this.
No, I'm cool with whatever. Anyway, you want to do it. Just as long as you
do exactly what I want.
I love Greek mythology. My aunt is actually a mythology teacher, so I know a lot about it, and I really want to play in it because I know, I don't know, I would love to play in it.
There is something you get. PhD.
You get something different out of running a game than you do playing. In it. There
exactly.
are some games I just want to run. There are some I just want to play.
No, I agree totally, and I'm mocking you guys for no
he's
reason but entertainment.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Trek.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
I asked the question that I don't really have the good answer for.
You gotta say something, Wayne.
But I'm gonna have to go with Star Trek on it. Because for me, Star Trek, there's a lot more options to pick from. If I'm going for a specific feel, I can generally find it in one of the Star Trek series.
This is true.
I agree with that, but I think something else that attracts me to Star Trek is Star Trek is really about the setting and about the mystery. Star Wars is about a small number of people.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Star Wars is a space opera. Star Trek is not.
Yeah. And with Star Wars, yes, it is very hard to tell the story of Star Wars and exclude the characters from the movies.
Right.
Whereas Star Trek, you could very easily tell a story in Star Trek that happens right in the middle of everything, and yet you never run into any of the characters from that particular era.
Star Trek has the Borg.
Is probably a better setting.
Yeah, just an overall setting and telling.
Star Trek will never grab my imagination and my flights of fancy like Star Wars did when I was a 12-year-old. So,
well, and
it will never be able to capture that. And perhaps that's an unfair metric of evaluation.
No, I don't think it's unfair at all, because I would say the exact same thing about Star Trek.
Same here.
The idea of being thoughtful appeals to me more than the idea of being cool. The idea of solving something by sitting down and unpacking it versus swinging from the chandeliers with a lightsaber, you know, or running and gunning through my cargo ship or whatever, I totally see the appeal in both sides.
There's a great Chuck Klosterman article, which I will try to find on the internet and link in the show notes here, about how boys watching Star Wars first want to identify with Luke, then want to identify with Han, then going back to wanting to identify with Luke. And it's just brilliant. And it touches a lot on that, Dan. Not directly, but
I will touch on a girlier side of the reason why I choose Star Wars over Star Trek, and that is costuming. Like, I love the costuming of Star Wars over Star Trek any day.
Yeah, because there
that's fair.
Are costumes.
Yeah, I mean,
Star
there
Wars.
Are costumes. Yeah. I mean, there are some uniform. Costumes in Star that. Trek, and I will admit that there are some pretty cool stuff when there is anything really extraordinary in it.
You're dealing with a lot of unique-looking costumes versus a lot of uniforms. It's definitely fair.
I mean, I am an original trilogy girl, but the costuming in the preceding trilogy was very interesting. Like, I've already made 2 Padme costumes because I find them so fascinating. But I hate storylines.
Sure, just turn any amount of furniture into a hat and got a Padme costume.
No, I actually did the fire
side. Put on some clown makeup in somewhat geometric ways.
No, I don't do that type of Padme. I do, like, episode 2 and on. I don't like episode 1 when she looks like a 2-year-old.
Out of curiosity, which did you see first, Star Trek or Star Wars?
You know, I honestly don't remember. I will tell you that I saw both of them at a very young age.
Okay. John?
I do not remember a time in which I had not seen them both. So, okay.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm same here. I grew up with both of them.
Julie?
I'm going to say, I don't know for sure, but I will.
I think you say Star Wars. You just got around to seeing Rathacon.
But I probably watched Star Trek as a child with my father, and I don't remember it because my father was such a Star Trek
fan. That's what I was wondering about, if it had anything to do with which one you saw first or what your thoughts are. Johnny talked about being a 12-year-old and Star Wars capturing your imagination. For me, Star Trek The Next Generation was the show that our family watched together on Saturday night.
Well, what I will say
I have strong memories of that.
My dad was a sci-fi nerd from on old, and I would say that if you look at the household, we were definitely more of a Star Trek household. Now, Star Wars, however, I did see at a very young age. It was very, very big amongst me and my siblings. And I believe I saw all the movies in theaters. I did not see Star Wars immediately on its release in theaters. I think I saw it on a rerun a couple years later. But like, I saw Empire and I saw Return both on their release
in
theaters.
I think they did a full-scale national reissue of Star Wars when The Empire Strikes Back came out.
Yeah, so except they were not the originals. Anyway,
these were the originals. I'm talking about the early 80s. Yeah,
but when they re-released them, he still changed them.
That
didn't
was
have
only
a
the 90s. When
oh, was it?
Yeah, that was in the 90s.
There were very slight changes to the original issues in the
in the
second issues in the 80s.
Because the original
they
didn't
added
have the scroll.
Episode 4, exactly. It did have the scroll, but it just said 4, Star Wars.
Yeah, it didn't have the actual.
Yeah. He really didn't start heavily changing it up until the 90s.
And I think even back then, some of the more obvious effects, like the scene in the throne room where there's very clearly cardboard stand-ups of soldiers all the way down. Once it was a couple of years later and he had enough money to hire extras, I think he went back and edited or reshot that with, you know, people. Seriously, go. It's fascinating.
Original,
if they reissued the true original cuts on DVD 5 or 6 years ago, and they look really bad. But it's fun to watch them.
I'm not going to get into it because I can go on for hours.
Right.
But anyway.
Elvis or Beatles?
Elvis.
I have a terrible impasse right now because I really hate Elvis and I really don't like the Beatles that much.
Okay, well,
but I am going to go with the Beatles because they have a couple songs I actually enjoy.
Okay.
I'm going to go Beatles.
I go with Elvis.
Hell yeah.
At different parts of my life, I would have probably answered differently, but there are more songs I like by the Beatles than there are by Elvis.
Thank you.
The songs I like by Elvis, I like more than I like the Beatles.
You know, I have kind of a reverse thing where throughout all my life, you know, I've heard, like most people have, the Beatles are just it, period. Mm. And I sat there and I listened to some Beatles songs and they just didn't do anything for me. And I went back, this was not that long ago, maybe 5-10 years ago tops, and listened to a whole bunch of Elvis stuff and found that overall I wasn't a big fan of most of his stuff, but there were things in there that I really liked that really grabbed me. And so at the end of it, for me, the Beatles just came across as overrated, whereas Elvis at least had it here and there. But I can't say I'm a huge fan of either at the end of things. Now, if I had phrased the question differently of just kind of looking at the artists as a whole, I probably would have gone Beatles, not because I was a big fan of Beatles, but because I liked a lot of what John Lennon did on his own after the Beatles. And there's a lot of stuff in there that I really do like, but I'm not a big fan of the Beatles.
Beatles 1 is one of my favorite albums. I still have it. That was the one where they basically took all of the number one hits of the Beatles and put it all onto one CD back years ago. That is one of my favorite CDs, and I like just about every song on there. But the Elvis songs I do like more. It's just a matter of volume.
Well, and I agree with you, Dan, because every Beatles song I like is actually written normally by John Lennon and secondarily by McCartney.
Every single song they cut, well, yeah, they credited both of them.
Both of them, yeah. But I mean, like,
historians sort of.
Well, like, Imagine is one of my favorite songs, and that's actually.
But that's solo.
That's just, that's just a solo.
Imagine, and it's not Beatles. Like, Watching the Wheels. That's a great song, but that was a solo act.
They're all John Lennon. Yeah. And so, and you can tell if you actually listen really closely, and I know a lot about music, if you listen closely enough, you can tell the difference between the McCartney influenced songs versus the John Lennon influenced songs. And I tend to like the John Lennon influenced songs more than McCartney.
Yeah, you're up, Johnny.
MMO or single player?
Single player.
Single player.
Stump the Dan.
I'm going to go with MMO.
I'm also going with MMO. I like people. I must be chatty while I'm killing my liches.
See, I play my MMOs like if they're a single player game.
Well, then no wonder you don't like them. You're not harnessing what they're there for.
Here's my take on, and you know this already. I've already talked about this before. I like single player because I spend a lot of my time being social. And so, therefore, when it's me time, you know, it's alone. Me time. Yeah.
No, I get that. And I will say that within an MMO, there are several frustrations that I have. For starters, I'm absolutely sick to death of the amusement park mud style of gaming.
Everyone is.
I'm sick to death of that.
I hate race to the end. And that's all they seem to be.
I'm tired of that. Get a quest, go kill 10 wolves, bring me back 10 wolf dongs because I hate wolves. I'm sick of that. I also do have times, Julia, where like you, I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to play a multiplayer game, but I like being able to log on anonymously or whatnot, which EverQuest allowed, WoW did not.
City of Heroes had hidden mode.
Yeah.
I constantly played hidden mode.
Well, and I found myself enjoying Mass Effect Online, too, for that reason.
Having said that, if you kind of gave me the general option, if you can either play a game by yourself or play a game with a group of friends, I would pick the group of friends the vast majority of the time. There are certainly times I want to kind of escape away, and I also accept there are certain types of games that can only be done single player. Mm-hmm. But I would much rather play with somebody than by myself.
I've learned over the years my optimal MMO experience is to play through the game with two other people. A party of three, two close friends and myself, playing through the content beginning to end, going at our own pace so we can read all the story as we go. City of Heroes, I had that happen twice. WoW, I had that happen once. And that seems to be the ultimate play experience for me in an MMO. It's just, it's a nice small group, so you can get some of the content you wouldn't get as a single player, but you're not getting into all of the things I see as a disadvantage in the bigger groups.
Like dying at random from a PK gank squad.
Oh.
Which is how I have my fun.
All right. Zombie, vampire, werewolf.
I struggle with this because
viewers at home who don't have the video feed version, Wayne is looking at Julia just incredulously doesn't understand the words.
What's the context? Is it
what do you enjoy? I don't know.
Okay, is it
question? That was a question. Yeah. You have to run the question. This is a Rorschach test. Wait, there's the question.
Because when I hear the question, I immediately think, are we talking which stories do I enjoy most? Most want to fight? I'm going with zombie.
Okay.
I took the question to be, which would you want to be? So I'm going with werewolf.
Vampire. I'm not explaining why.
Vampire.
That's right.
Sexy.
And that was
vampire.
The other one I was wondering. Is it which one are you?
I took it as which one you want to be.
Yeah,
I took it as
if it's which one you want to be, it's obviously
genre
be vampire,
of fiction do you most enjoy? And I was thinking both. Like When was the last time I read a zombie book or a werewolf book that I enjoyed?
Well,
I just finished one last never. When was the last time I read a vampire book? Okay, lots of times.
Well, I think that actually, if we're going even with what do you want to consume, I would still choose werewolf for a simple reason. I am sick to death of zombies and vampires.
I'm sick to death of zombies.
They are so overdone in our pop culture.
I am on a real zombie kick right now. I love Walking Dead, both the comic and the TV show. I just finished a couple of zombie books that I really enjoyed. I'm looking forward to World War Z.
Well, speaking of zombies, have you gone and seen Warm Bodies yet?
I haven't, but I want to.
It's good. I went and saw it, and being sick of zombie movies, I thoroughly enjoyed this because it was kind of like, the way we described it, I'm sorry, I know I'm going off on a tangent, but the way we described it was that it was like Zombieland from the other perspective for the first part of the movie, which was great because I loved Zombieland and like the whole like realization of it, like Double Tap or whatever the hell it was called in that movie. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
What I love about zombie stories is a really good zombie story is about setting up your society, rebuilding, building defenses, dealing with the siege, dealing with other people. Those are stories I really enjoy. Like I said, Walking Dead, some of the books I've had lately, those are all the stories that really explore that, that this is something that's out there in the world, but the zombies themselves are never the focus. They're the background setting. And that's the best way to do a zombie story.
Have you watched Falling Skies?
I have. I love it.
I'll say, because, yeah, that's the same sort of thing, except it's an alien invasion.
It's exactly. I love it for the same reason. You really get into these characters and how they're trying to survive.
Yeah, the aliens are obviously dealt with, but they're more of kind of a background menace than the foreground story most of the time. Yeah. There's times where they are the foreground story, but...
Do you find zombie stories like that fundamentally misanthropic? Is the fantasy basically... Most people around me are plugged into their football and their TV commercials, and they're brainless, but the few who get it, and I'm one of them always, will band together and rebuild everything
better
while the drones just
die.
Kill themselves.
You know, John, I don't know if I've ever quite reduced it down that way. I always saw zombie stories as misanthropic for a different reason, which is the fact that if you look at most zombie stories on the survivor side, usually people make very stupid mistakes.
Yes.
It's like you have 12 people. They've got 300 IQ points between them. They are dying off, not because the zombies are that dangerous, but because they are that freaking selfish and or stupid and or both. But now that you put it that way, is the appeal of a zombie story that on some level it lets you reduce the bulk of society down to shambling drones that you can blow away at whim, and your goal is to escape them as one of the select few? I had never thought about that way.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that is some of the subconscious appeal.
I have thought about this very, very thoroughly. That is a part of it. For me, a big part of it is I look at what I dislike about society and life. A lot of it are things like paying bills, going to a corporate environment, things like that. And I look at a zombie apocalypse as all of that aspect of life that I dislike, that's gone.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about credit. You have to worry about surviving. I would prefer that.
Right. And that's less misanthropic, but that's another part of it. It's people that...
The unimportant things in life suddenly really are unimportant.
Yeah.
And you deal with the important
It's
part
one
of
many
life.
Fictional doomsday scenarios that can brush away the ignominy of being a modern person in the developed world.
Wait, did I ever loan you After Armageddon? Have you watched it yet?
I have.
Okay. Yeah, so because that kind of like talks about how, yeah, all that goes away. And then at the end, the dad dies from a cut on his hand.
Yeah. See, that's the punchline. I can't help but snicker at people who hold this fantasy side of it up because it's like,
yeah,
now you don't have clean water. Sorry if you thought going to an office for 8 hours a day sucked, but now you're working 24 hours a day because you're going to poop yourself.
There's a lot of things you'd have to give up. There'd be horrible things in life. You would be constantly fighting for your life. Still... That's always been something where that type of world actually has more appeal to it than the modern one. And I've shared that view with my wife, and she says that's kind of disturbing and worrisome.
You know what's awesome about being a vampire? I can just eat you.
True.
Right, John?
That's right.
You were just the predator. You get to just eat people. It's great.
Aren't the zombies and werewolves also predators?
Well, I think we are smarter. I don't even want to say smarter than werewolves. We're smarter than zombies, definitely.
I
think
sympathize werewolves with the vampires because I hate the sun, too.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, but you can't even drive to work.
But like the werewolves and vampires are very similar in many ways, but they're also very different. Like they're both predators, but in different ways.
I've never seen the appeal of the werewolf. The vampire stories, yeah, there's plenty of them I've enjoyed.
Well, and I have werewolves, certain ones I like.
I've never enjoyed a werewolf story.
Over others.
Yeah, I understand the werewolf analogy, but I've never considered wanting to actually, like, want that. The werewolf analogy is you go back to your more primal state, you just get mad and you just scream it out and kill it out instead of being polite about it.
In video games, male characters or female characters?
If only Pat were here.
Why do you pick these hard questions for me?
Dan's a switch hitter.
Yeah, I am a switch hitter. I know, I gotta pick one, but I am a switch hitter on this one.
I am as well.
But since I gotta pick one or the other, I will say male characters.
Male.
I'm at such an impasse because I have to stare at their ass the entire time I'm playing, and I'd rather look at a male's, but I like...
Pat is here.
I'm serious. Like, if I'm going to stare at an ass for, like, 24 hours or however long I'm playing this game, it better be a male's ass. But at the same time, I think that I play truer to a female, so I'd have to say female.
I think the part of the reason that Wayne? I chose... Oh, I'm sorry, Wayne.
I'm going to go male. Like, Dan, I do both. I very much, it depends on the character and the situation in the game. Yeah. But I'm a male.
So if I'm playing one that's through, not a switch hitter.
If I'm playing through a game, particularly like, say something like a Mass Effect, I want to play through that as a male because I'm a male and I can associate myself more with
it. Yeah, it's self-projection is the point, which is why I don't understand passive fans. I gotta look at a chick, man. I gotta look at a butt.
Oh, on MMOs, I play mostly female characters.
Yeah, same here. And John, here's why. Because of the fact that if I look at a game that's got a really deep story or set of characters, we'll use Mass Effect as an example. You're absolutely right that there's a degree of personal projection going on in there. I am Shepard. Yeah, right. And so,
the whole reason they write billion path dialogue options is to project yourself.
I am not my character in WoW.
Bingo. But in WoW?
No one's a character in WoW. In WoW, you're a digital pawn to level up with.
Exactly. Why not be an attractive one?
Or even in something like Skyrim, where... Yeah, you have a lot of options. It's a sandbox, but you as a character really never come out. Your personality's never developed. You never speak. You know, it's just dialogue trees that kind of advance a world plot in whatever direction you choose. But your character is really not the center of that whole maelstrom.
Sure it is. You're the Dovahkiin.
Well, I mean, your character choices might be, but your character as a person.
Yeah, being a...
Who is your character? I mean, it's really the game doesn't bother to even give you a chance to explore.
My character is the Archmage of the Tower, the leader of the Brotherhood, the leader of the Thieves Guild, and that's the Dragonborn. My character is a Mary Sue. I hate my character.
But that's the only way Skyrim. That's the only way you can dictate what your character is by joining in these different factions, like the Brotherhood tends to be evil.
Oh, sure, but even then you can't go into the Brotherhood and be like, well, I don't mind the idea of killing off the right people, but you guys are messed up.
Yeah,
so
you guys are screwed.
I'm going to wipe you guys out and reform you with a different. You can't do that. There's no character exploration.
Yeah.
You do what they want, or you don't do what they want.
And then plot sits there and eats at you until you finally finish it like me.
It's interesting if your game experience actually is different based on being male or female. Something like, say, Fallout 3, it doesn't really matter. There's a few NPCs where if you're a male, one thing can happen, if you're female, another. But for the most part, you're going through the whole game the same either way. Mass Effect, though, whether you're male or female will determine who you're romancing. And that NPC isn't just something that shows up for a couple minutes in the game. They're through the entire game.
Yeah, there's a deeper sense of ownership or whatever that I don't think comes in some of their games.
But except they're supposed to be changing that because they brought it. They made it a point in Dragon Age 2 to make there be more bisexual characters.
Yeah, they've gone too far with that. I appreciate the need for a three-dimensional world with characters of different sexual persuasions, but everybody in the world is bisexual is not a step closer to verisimilitude. It's another weird, cartoony tack.
I was okay with just two characters, like Zevran being like the comic relief and be like, here I am.
Yeah.
Or Liliana just being
an elf.
Yeah, he's an elf, so he's gay anyway. But
there are no straight male elves. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Or, you know, having Liliana, who's just a hot chick who would have sex with women, which is pretty hot, you know, that's, you know, I'm just saying.
Hey, Liliana was a sensitive, delicate flower. You needed like 95.
You didn't play the expansion where she actually had a girlfriend that she went around murdering people with.
She was the ultimate bard.
She was the ultimate bard being a... Never mind. Anyway.
Who are we on?
I don't remember what we're talking about.
All right. Rich or famous?
Oh.
Rich. Every time, please.
Rich.
Rich.
This is a tough one for me. I mean, it really is.
Well, I'm sorry I sprung it on you.
Yeah.
That is one thing about this game that sometimes you're thinking the questions.
Yeah, you don't
think ahead of the answers.
You don't really thinking about something that comes back to you, oh yeah, I have to answer my own question.
I think it actually I would go with famous. I realize, obviously, in a commercial society, there's a lot you can do with money. But
everything.
Yeah, like everything. But I think there are also certain things that are best achieved through influence. You know, you have the best ability to set an example for other people's lives if you are famous.
You didn't say influential. You said famous.
Famous.
I think there's a difference.
Because my problem with it is...
I know a handful of very influential people that are not famous.
Okay, and I'll grant you that there is a certainly there are people who are famous but not influential.
Paris Hilton.
I certainly would hope so. I mean, there are dumbasses that she influences, but...
Yeah, no, I think that famous people are necessarily influential. I don't think that influential people are necessarily famous.
But I do think that rich people are influential in some ways, too.
Oh, sure. They have money. They can make people do what they want.
Well, I'm not even saying in that way.
But I think if you're famous, you have the possibility of being influential. Yeah. It's readily available. Easier, yeah. Readily available. Because of the fact that you walk into a room and people pay attention to who you are. And ideally, you do something worthy with that. You take that and then use that to set some kind of a positive example. And I recognize that you can still do a lot of good with money. Don't get me wrong. But I think that's why if at the end of things, I either lived well or was remembered, I would rather be remembered than have lived well. It'd take me a while to unpack why that is. But
well, I guess for me, the big thing with rich versus famous, famous isn't necessarily something that I would strive for, although there are good things I would get out of that. But I'm an introvert. I don't want everyone around me to know me. I want to be able to go out by myself without being recognized. When I think about what I really want to do in life, the things that hold me back from doing them a lot of times are
physics.
Money.
Oh.
No, I'm fine physics.
Well, and a lot of times you can buy fame.
Yeah, if you're rich.
Well, the question, though, presupposes a
right, person. Right. And honestly.
And if you're famous, you could go sign a movie deal and make money. But the idea is.
I want to be famous for all the money I have.
Well, and honestly, I think that, I don't know, I guess one of the reasons why I wouldn't pick famous, there's too many variables in the in being famous. Like, I wouldn't want to be Kim Kardashian, who's just famous because she's there. I would want to have done something.
She's famous because she made a tape.
Yeah, and she has tits and an
Wayne,
ass, I guess.
You're halfway there.
But I, you know, I would want it to be for a reason, whereas being rich...
We'll call hers the longest Halloween.
Oh, no. Oh.
PvP or PvE?
You just want an excuse to stump this.
No, I'll say my piece and move on.
PvE?
PvE.
Wimps.
Yeah, PvP. Here we go.
There we go.
There's only one game sufficiently dangerous to challenge a true player. Man.
What I want out of a game is the story of the game. It's not even necessarily the challenge.
There's stories in PvP. Lots of them.
Not the same type of stories.
No.
They're the things that are happening. No, mind you, I have enjoyed PvP in certain things. Remember, I did first-person shooters a lot back in the day. I did some competing with them. That was a lot of fun.
And I don't just mean MMOs. I mean anything.
No, I play a lot of PvP as well, but I want it to be consensual. So in the false dichotomy, I am picking PvE. In WoW, for example, I played a ton of PvP, but I did it on a PvE server, so I was always queuing up for battlegrounds and all that kind of stuff. You know,
but
so
isn't joining a PvP server just a more abstract form of queuing up for a battleground? Doesn't everyone consent to non-consensualness by entering the arena?
But at no point
that's
can
why
I
I'm
say,
not there.
I want to talk to a quest giver, leave me alone. I want to sell my stuff. You can't kill me for 5 minutes. That's not possible.
Right.
Whereas in a PvE situation, you can go the other route. I'd say, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to turn on my flag, walk out, and see what happens.
Well, see, I've never played an MMO, so I just picked that because I know that player versus player sucks.
No, you suck. Get good at player versus player, and then it's awesome.
I've had games where I'm good at it, and I still don't have as much fun as I do playing through the stories.
Yeah, I'm a storyline person. I'm a completionist. It would drive me absolutely bonkers.
That's almost a similar but parallel question you've hit on, Wayne. Narrative games versus competitive games. I think PvE definitely has much more room to be narrative than PvP does, and PvP definitely has much more room to be competitive than narrative.
And for me, it's always going to be narrative. Yeah. I've mentioned it before. Like fighting games, for example, I get bored with after a couple fights, and I'm done with them for good. A narrative game I can play through even a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I agree.
So you guys, at least you in particular, Wayne, it's not really the PvE, it's the narrative that appeals
that,
to you.
That is what would appeal to me if I played MMOs.
All right, fair enough, fair enough.
If they did a game where you could get through the narrative and what you were fighting.
Flavors,
you know,
player.
Go out, kill 5 wolves to get the wolf tolls. But the wolves were actually other players.
So wait a minute. You're okay with PvP as long as you're a strapping paladin and the other players are dogs.
No.
And you're harvesting their assholes.
I'm saying if the game... I mean, I want
the Wayne's playing prison.
What I'm saying is what I want is the narrative. If the narrative tells me to go fight something, whether that something is a computer player or another player, that doesn't figure in as heavily as... the narrative.
What if the narrative is dynamically generated? What if the narrative is your goon fleet and you just dropped another POS and I have to defend it from a titan?
I think for me, it's more of I like the bonding experience and therefore I am far more moved by going up against all odds with my buddies, winning, and then going out for beers and having the hell yes moment. I am much more compelled by what I can do with you than what I can do to you.
And that's what I really got out of the first
person shooters.
In fact,
when
shooters.
I play PvP, I will only do it in a team scenario. Yeah. I will never do like,
I vastly
dual type.
Prefer. I think most people who are super into PvP like big organized team stuff or even smaller.
But I think that's the problem.
Like the occasional
it doesn't happen
duel,
often
though.
Enough. The PvP servers that I was on briefly, it was like, how often did I see a 10-on-10 or 20-on-20 fair fight? Yeah, they did happen, but more often it was more like I'm wandering around, 4 guys who are all double my level, jump me and kill me and corpse camp me. And it's like, what the hell's the point of this?
Now, John, one thing I really do enjoy about PvP is to stop and do a, you know, like a one-on-one duel. Yeah. Like just occasionally you and your buddy want to see, okay, which one of us is better? And then you go in and do a one-on-one duel.
That is fun.
I do enjoy those.
Too. That is not my favorite form of PvP, but it is a fun form.
Julia?
I'm going to go sports on y'all.
Okay.
And I said y'all. Basketball, baseball, or football?
Baseball.
Football.
Baseball.
Really?
Yeah.
Basketball.
I like football because of the fact that I like the strategic level to it.
There
is a tactical level to every sport out there. But football, in my opinion, is, I think, the only sport, or at least one of very few,
basketball has it.
That has a real strategic level where you stop, you work out a play, you come up with fakes and feints at this really organized level. You're not just kind of doing it on the fly. You really think it through. You try to read how they're playing the field, read where their strengths and weaknesses are. You know, protecting your playbook is of incredible importance in football. Bill Belichick. And that's something that I don't get out of a lot of sports. And when I came to appreciate that fact in football is when my opinion of an interest in the sport completely changed. I used to see football as just kind of the lowest sport out
Dude,
there.
Just hitting each other with pads on.
And people yelling defense. Or, I mean, and it just seemed like the most lowbrow thing in existence until I really started to unpack what was going on behind all of that. And then I started to see, like, for people running together in pads, this is a surprisingly intellectual exercise.
Yeah, football would have been my runner-up. Baseball only wins because I actually really enjoy going to the stadium.
Me too.
If we're just talking on TV, it would have been football, but I enjoy the stadium experience itself. Basketball's never held any kind of appeal to me whatsoever.
Well, and the reason why I picked those three in particular is baseball is very strategic, but it's very slow. And basketball is relative, it's not as strategic as baseball or football is, but it's really fast paced. And football is more strategic, but a little bit slower pace than basketball, but not as slow as baseball. I've coached for many years and I played for like 15. And so I know an ass load. So like Dan, I guarantee you that if you sat with me during like a Mizzou game and I broke down every single play and everything they're doing and exactly why they're doing it, you'd probably get the same way.
Oh,
as
and
you
I'm
football.
Not saying that.
Yeah, no, in every
no,
sport's that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, every sport has some degree of planning and analysis to it. I'm not saying otherwise, but I'm just saying that football seems to possess it in a level that it seems like nothing shy of actual land warfare equals.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, I mean, even, and I coach 7th and 8th graders, and even they know, okay, they're playing a man-to-man defense. I need to play this offense. Like, they know that going down the court. You know, it's, you have your strategies against certain defenses and yada, yada, yada.
It always seemed like to me that basketball was one of those sports where one person can make more of a difference than some of the others. If you have a really good person on the field, you know, on the court in basketball, that person is going to make a bigger impact than one really good player in football.
Until you have a good defense that shuts them down.
Yeah, but it's that's something
actually
happened more often than
it's
part of a team.
There's, everyone gets fired up about A-Rod, but it's not like people get fired up about LeBron.
Yes.
A-Rod does not single-handedly make his team the way LeBron James does.
I hate LeBron James, by the way, so that's like a sin to mention it in front of me.
I don't have an opinion on him.
He's a douche.
I'm just agreeing with the point.
And it's the same thing. People get fired up with baseball about the person who's going to hit the home runs.
Yeah, like Pujols or whoever it might be.
One person that's going to come up only a certain amount of times during the game. It's all about how's the team going to play in
the
field.
And that's the fun part about baseball. It is absolutely impossible for one person to carry a baseball team.
Well, and it's hard
to
predict.
You need to have a ton of moving parts all working together or you lose.
It's hard to predict baseball as well because you never know how somebody's going to hit.
That too.
Whereas in basketball, like, I've won several dollars betting on brackets for college games. And I'm good at it because I can look at a team and I can say, this team is going to be better at this than this team. So therefore, they're going to beat them.
Yeah. And people do that with football, but also in football, on any given day, any team can beat any team. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very common quote that I firmly believe in from the days when I used to watch football. You can have a team come in that is arguably the best team in the league based on their record that year, and they choke. And you don't know that's going to happen until that game actually starts.
Which, by the way, my basketball confession does not include last year's NCAA tournament bracket because that sucked.
Really? I made four figures on it on day one. Why? I parlayed all the Jesuit schools on the first Saturday of the tournament. Not even thinking about it.
15s beat number 1 and 2 ranked teams on the first round.
Yeah.
Screw that bracket.
Screw that bracket because of Mizzou eating crap to Norfolk State while I was at Mandalay Bay with a bunch of Mizzou gear on. But my despair only lasted until Xavier beat Notre Dame and sealed the win for every single Jesuit team that day and then paid for my vacation.
I was pretty excited about that. Anyway.
Wayne, here's the last one.
All right. Humanoid robots or big clunky robots?
Oh.
So like a robot like
androids,
like
or
say a Cylon where they look very human,
or the big clunky Cylons
versus
clunky Cylons.
Definitely clunky
humanoid.
I think I like humanoid better as well.
Yeah, they're more sneaky. They're great.
I think that's why I don't like them is because they are a lazy, lazy plot.
Yes.
Okay, in a plot sense, I agree with you. But
Ron Moore didn't have to write that series. When in doubt, just draw a name out of a hat, and this week they're a Cylon.
Now, the Cylons were the extreme example of that. They basically were human because they were organic.
Organic, yes.
But if you could cut them open, like, say, a Terminator, and find the robots underneath.
I think I would still go with clunky just because of the fact that I think it creates a certain visual appeal. And I realize this is purely subjective. I mean, there is nothing I can even really defend here apart from saying this is just who I am. But this is one of the reasons why I have never been a big fan of a lot of anime. If you look at anime, the robots in there tend to be a lot more sleek, a lot more organic. Actually, as Rem from our forums recently pointed out to me, they tend to subtly convey a lot of things about personality, about gender. And so a lot of people find that very fascinating because of the fact that they seem so expressive. But I feel that in the process, they also lose their distinctiveness from humans. They may have a lot of distinctiveness amongst themselves, but I really like the idea that a robot represents this other, that it functions in a different way. It looks in a different way. When it's coming at me, it is this thing of unwieldy power. It's very discernibly other. And I've always thought amongst sci-fi, some of the best visually to me is sci-fi that's very high tech, but still manages to pass off a low tech visual to it. Mm-hmm. An example of this would be 40K. As much beef as I have with their business model, I love the setting of 40K, and I love a lot of the video games and such that are set in 40K.
They totally ripped it off of StarCraft.
Battlestar Galactica is a good example of that, too. Those ships look very low-tech, even though they are high-tech.
Well, it's part of the fiction that they're actually several generations behind human capability.
Well, it's
just happened to live.
The Pegasus was the most, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Battlestar, as much as I am, but the Pegasus was even supposed to be one of the best in the fleet, and it still wasn't even all that impressive compared to, I don't know, what I would think of in that time period, I guess.
Yeah, I love the idea of
angels.
Love the idea of the robot hiding in plain sight. I do prefer more of the, you know, the streamlined robots, like, say, a Terminator, because what is creepier than shooting someone and then revealing the metal underneath?
Yeah, that is pretty creepy.
I think the Terminator, though, perhaps is somewhat of a unique case in that regard because of the fact that the Terminator, it kind of appeals to this, I guess, the same sort of thing that like an android would, where it reminds you on some subconscious level that in some ways, at least, you are a machine. You know, it kind of peels back the layers, and there's this thing inside that ultimately is a human skeleton. And so there's kind of this sense of death and decay about them that, for example, if I was to look at, like, Evangelion, you don't get that out of those robots. You get very sleek, stylized robots, but it's without that sense of psychological.
A lot of those aren't robots, though. I don't consider it a robot if someone's in a cockpit controlling it.
My thing with, and I was actually going to bring up that same series, is that one of the reasons why I loved that series versus, I'm not a big robot anime person, regardless of if it's because they're too human or not. It was the emotions behind it. It was like they still had, and not all of them did, but at least Shinji's had emotions. Still, the robots did. And that's why I enjoy them. I enjoy the fact that the robots evolve enough to have emotions. And I think that's why I like that type of
robot. Love Data from Star Trek The Next Generation. Right. And it's that exploration of the character trying to become more human, eventually getting emotions and how he's dealing with those emotions. That was something I enjoyed on the series. And that argument of, as much as I hate transhumanism, I don't know why I enjoy the argument of, is this alive, as much as I do. But I really do enjoy that argument. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see, are you still human anymore? But I do like the idea of, now that this thing is thinking, now that it is sentient,
it has emotions, and
at what point does it become its own life form? That is something I do enjoy exploring.
Do you guys know that Arnold was originally recruited by James Cameron to play Kyle Reese, and that O.J. Simpson was supposed to be the Terminator?
Wow.
That movie would have been sick as hell.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sort of happy that it all broke down how it did. The Terminator is a wonderful film, but like Arnold versus Robot OJ would have taken a real different overtone
after the
early 90s.
Yeah.
That would have become a very, very ironic film.
Yes.
I don't think we would have had a Terminator 2 at
I don't think so either.
Well, T2 came out before the whole murder trial thing.
Yeah, you certainly would not have had a Terminator 3.
No, that would have been a dead franchise.
So
good job, Arnold. Thanks for taking the job as the Terminator instead of as Kyle.
I hope you guys have kind of found this amusing. Once again, this is a great icebreaker, or even just a time killer you're hanging out with a bunch of friends, because you'd be surprised how much you learn about somebody by just asking such superficial questions, but then finding out why they answered the way they did. John actually filled a notebook with these.
I still have that notebook in my attaché.
And we probably asked 100 or more questions. Yeah,
if I would have known we were going to play, I would have brought it. Easily 100 questions.
We had so many questions in there. It was a great way.
Where were we even going? Comic-Con?
San Diego, yeah. Okay. San Diego.
I
first started playing it with a girlfriend, unintentionally. It just came out of a question about cars. But anyway, you guys might find this useful as your own way of getting to know somebody or breaking the ice or even just killing a little bit of time. Or, you know what, even with the people you think you know well, you'd be surprised sometimes how little you actually know about them once you start asking. So, hope this has been amusing to listen to and maybe a little bit useful to you. Have a great week. As always, fearthecon.com. Don't forget to check that out. And we will be back next time with a probably regular episode, possibly an interview, but probably a regular episode. So we will catch you guys then.
See you.